And I take you back to the call to worship. Work for the Lord always. Work without limit, since you know that in the Lord your labor cannot be lost. And alongside that call to worship, the text that I've chosen for this morning is from indeed the first chapter of Ecclesiastes and the third verse. You spend your life working, laboring, and what do you have to show for it? Or as another translation puts it, what does a man gain by all his toil at which he toils under the sun? You and I watch the television screens closely. We read the newspapers and we hear the radios. And for the last month, two, three, four, five, 6 months or so, the first item on the news invariably has been of some strike or some unrest in the workplace, with people demanding more and more for themselves. So sadly, we are suffering from that wave of industrial strikes. Against the problem of the strikes, we have somewhere almost 1.5 million people who are out of work, have no employment, and have little or no income whatsoever. A lot of unemployed, a lot of people still working and earning reasonable salaries. A shortage of workers is important to our economy. And of course, there is the other argument at the moment, whether we should have more people coming as migrants or whether we should be closing the door and keeping them out. Most of us will have seen the film Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I hope most of your memories are good enough to go back all that length of time. Snow White and her seven dwarfs. And you'll recall the scene where the dwarfs pick up their tools and march off to work, singing, "Whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle while you work." To the question, what does a person gain by his toil? It seems that the dwarf's answer would be joy and satisfaction. Over the years, I've spoken to many, many people who have worked hard all their life and enjoyed little or nothing of it. Worked hard all their life and earned hardly enough to keep them alive. It would seem that for many, the picture of work would indeed be a fairy story, and the last thing that people would claim is that they gain joy from their daily work. Many people would say to us that modern production has taken away the element of craftsmanship, creativity, and that the main factor is the financial reward at the end of a week or a month. It is easy to blame the modern world and say that men and women have become the slaves of machines and computers, and that humanity has destroyed the dignity of work. I learned a very important lesson at the age of about 13. My father had a butcher shop, and I was invited to deliver his orders on a Saturday, for which I was given the very princely sum of an old half crown, 2 and 6p. And I worked there happily for him. However, there was a butcher shop down the road, and I noticed from school one day that they were looking for a delivery boy. And so I said to my father, "Do you mind if I go somewhere else?" And he asked the question, "Why would you want to go somewhere else?" And I said, "Well, I'll get more money." And I did. And I worked there for a few weeks, and then came back to my father and said, "Can I come back to work for you?" "Why?" he said. I said, "Well, I can't get to play football for the BB in the afternoon. Money is not everything." I believe we have to look much deeper into work relationships, deeper into the rewards which are earned, and to ask ourselves the question, where does the church stand in all of this? Too often, the church has not anything of real value to say. However, there was our call to worship, work for the Lord. And life is a gift from God. He would sustain it, he would support it, and he would ask us to love him and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We should know the purpose of our work. It is not simply for cash. It is to develop ourselves and our talents. It is to share with those whose world this is also. When we talk about maintaining our standard of living, when we voice our opinions that we are too often saying that we are in the business of social competition and in the queue for material possessions. In the middle of a competition, it's very hard to stop and say to oneself, "How much am I losing in the desire and the quest for gain?" I don't know whether any of us ever do ask that question. And far too often the answer is, "I'm gaining a house, but I'm losing a home." Or, "I'm gaining a car, a bigger screen television, and I'm losing contact in a meaningful sense with my spouse and my children as they stare at the TV." And far too often, the answer is, "I am losing my health and my peace of mind and gaining a bigger bank balance." The problem is not new, and the solution is still clear. The Bible tells us, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you." George Eliot, in a beautiful poem entitled Stradivarius, wrote these words, "I say not God himself can make man's best without best men to help him." 'Tis God gives still, that without men's hands he could not make Stradivarius violins without Antonio. The Bible says God needs us. God wishes us to know that he is Heavenly Father and that we are his children. And we are to know that he sent his Son to show us how to live a way which looks after our brothers and our sisters and all those who share our world. And let me say this, because we don't often think about it. God also is a worker. He is creator. There is a real sense in which the Spirit of God inspires a good nurse or a good joiner or a shop assistant or a company director, maybe even politicians. I'm not sure about that. However, if we could always remember God as a worker in creation, we might be able to transform our own work into worship. I often wonder how much difference it would make to our attitude to work if we saw it relating to the commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. William Temple, former Archbishop of Canterbury, declared that every Christian should have the satisfaction of knowing his or her work is directed to the well-being of the community. Thus, Christians will work at all variety of trades and occupations, so not solely for the money, but because it is their vocation. And all of us, when we come into the Christian church, know that we are dedicating ourselves to the will of God. And so we should know that we are to care for our fellow men and women and children. And in doing this, we will be showing that Christianity is relevant to work. And we shall find our attitude to work is one where we can whistle and know the joy and satisfaction is to be the motive for serving. If we can worship God through our work and love for our neighbor by our labors, then we become an evangelist, not in words, but in example. And Christianity has a job to bring people to God. What does a person gain by toil at which he toils under the sun? He or she gains the opportunity, the privilege, to build a bridge between God and mankind. If you and I believe that Jesus' way is the way, the truth, and the life, we should bring his way into our lives to drive out the bitterness and the strife which affect so much of society's living. And yes, we have to ask the question, what does a man gain by his toil? It is the voice which says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Stand firm and unmovable and work for the Lord always, without limit, since you know that in the Lord your labor cannot be lost. May God bless to us the preaching of his word.